Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson taking you through this Wednesday morning. And it's that time of the week. We bring in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, sponsored by Sealmaster. Adam, what's going on, brother?
First of all, I need to know if Joe can name that song, because I know he is a hip-hop aficionado.
I can't.
That would be Victory by Puffy and Biggie and Busta Rhymes.
Okay, really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, as Munson will tell you, I put my headphones on like right before you came on, so I should have known that. So,
well, if they're not talking about breakdancing, I don't want to.
Rexro didn't have much time for your song choice, Vingan. Sorry. Listen, Grandmaster Flash, that's where I stopped with him, 1983. Have you ever heard of Grandmaster Flash, Vingan?
Before any of us were born, other than you.
Well,
we had a lot
true.
Of shots at Joe today, yeah, just about how old he is. Okay, I'm cool.
It's old Joe day.
All right, Adam, obviously we saw the other day the Preds make the move not to bring back Dan Muse behind the bench. What was your reaction to that news? Were you surprised at all?
No, I wasn't surprised, just because, one, the Predators talked a lot about making changes, so that is a relatively easy change to make. And two, typically new coaches, especially coaches who are hired in season, you know, do not have the opportunity to form their own staff. And with the exception of Rob Scuderi, who came on as an assistant coach on the same day that John Hines was hired, John inherited Peter Laviolette's coaching staff. So this gives John now an opportunity to formulate his own coaching staff. And it's going to be interesting who he would decide to bring along. You know, one name that, you know, sticks out to me, if he becomes available, is Alain Nasruddin, who was the interim head coach for the New Jersey Devils after John was fired in December. He had been an assistant coach for John Hines since 2010, which includes 5 years in the AHL before joining him with the Devils in 2015. So we saw, for example, how Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy were attached at the hip. You know, certainly if Alain Nasruddin, who was not named the full-time head coach of the Devils, Lindy Ruff, earned that position last month, if Nasruddin is not retained by the Devils, certainly it would make a lot of sense for him to come to the Predators.
So would this be, I guess, like Scuderi stepping into Muse's spot? I know it's not like you know exactly how everything's going to work, but is it, I guess, like the new hire, would that be more replacing Muse, or is it Scuderi? How do you view that?
Well, Scuderi is not going to be on the bench next season. He's returning to his role as the defense development coach, which in the press release, the Predator said was a planned move. So I believe there are two openings on the bench because they're retaining Dan Lambert. But so you would assume that would be two openings, Dan Muse's spot and Rob Scuderi's former spot. And if Dan Lambert continues to be in charge of the power play, which he was hired to do last summer, then you would assume that the new head coach, the new assistant coach would be in charge of the penalty kill, which was Nasruddin's responsibility with the Devils under Hines. He also was in charge of the defenseman as a former NHL defenseman himself. So that's why I think that could also be a good fit. Another name that I thought might be interesting, and this is purely speculation on my part, but the Pittsburgh Penguins last week let go of all three of their assistant coaches after they were eliminated in the qualifying round by the Montreal Canadiens. One of those assistant coaches, Sergei Gonchar, who played 1,300 games in the NHL, we saw how the Predators' core defenseman took to Phil Housley. So I wonder if Sergei Gonchar could carry the same weight as a soon-to-be, I think, Hall of Fame defenseman who has a lot of experience in the league.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to follow up and ask you, certainly people get fired in this league all the time, and a lot of times it is as simple as, you know, I've got my guys, these are the other guys' guys, I'm going to bring in my people. But obviously, Housley leaving was a loss for the Predators' defensemen. So it's not necessarily, you know, that Dan Muse didn't do a good job, but it's a different voice, and I think those guys certainly credited Housley for the development. So how important, I guess, is it to have someone like that, even though those guys are older now?
Yeah, I certainly think it helps, and you're right that when Housley first came to Nashville, which was when Barry Trotz was still here, you know, Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, they were all youngsters. Now they're veterans and leaders on the team. So, but I still think that, you know, having a player with extensive, having a coach with extensive playing experience, I think always helps. And, you know, that's why I thought Gonchar was an intriguing name, just because of, you know, 1,300 games in the NHL, you know, someone who I believe will be a Hall of Famer one day. A different defenseman, I think, in his playing days than Housley, even though he did have a lot of points, Gonchar. But still, you know, a player who carries a lot of weight and name recognition. So if John Hines was looking to add some of that to his coaching staff, I think Gonchar would be an interesting fit.
Adam Vingan on the line with us from The Athletic, sponsored by Sealmaster. And Adam, look, we've been kind of to dissect what changes need to happen with this roster since they were eliminated by Arizona, and I'm not going to get into specific personnel changes because I think at this point that's hard to predict. But what ingredients do you think are missing from this group that they just either don't have or don't display often enough that have to change if this thing is going to get turned around, in your opinion?
Well, I think they need some snarl in their lineup. I think the Predator, look, when you look at the Predators roster, there aren't a lot of, you know, physical players in the sense that, you know, like, who do we think as physical players on the Predators? We think of Austin Watson. We think of Matthias Ekholm, you know, for example. But, you know, Roman Josi, not really a physical defenseman. Same with Ryan Ellis. You know, a lot of their top six players, Ryan Johansson can certainly throw the body around, and so can Philip Forsberg. But I think they need more bite in their lineup. And now, you know, I think a player of the mold of a Tom Wilson or a Matthew Tkachuk or a Brad Marchand, which, you know, those players don't grow on trees. So I don't think they're going to get someone like that, but someone with similar attributes, someone who can produce points and tick off opposing players. I think they need someone like that. Now, I don't know who is out there. You know, the internal option, I think, would be Jakob Trenin. You know, he's not cut from the same cloth as those aforementioned players, but, you know, he is willing to throw his body around, and hey, he did stagger Zdeno Chara with a stiff right punch to the jaw during the regular season, which was no small feat. So he's not afraid to get into the dirty areas and do the hard work. So when I look at this team, I just think, you know, I thought of what John Hines was talking about with Philip Forsberg during the playoffs, the idea of power before skill. I think they need more players that think that way. I think they, you know, never hurts to have more skill, but I think they need someone who's willing to pay a physical price more so than most of the players on the team.
Yeah, I guess with Trenin, a question would be, like you said, everyone took notice with the Chara thing, but also certainly big physical guy. You have to have a certain amount of skill, finish, whatever you want to call it, to go with that too. Do you think that he's a guy who can have the full, well-rounded game here moving forward?
I think so. I mean, he scored 20 goals in 32 games for the Admirals last season. You know, of course, when I was shocked when I went to look at his box, when his statistics, and noticed that his shooting percentage in the AHL last season was 28.2%, which is is unsustainable at any level.
How many empty netters were in there? Like,
I'm not sure, but you know, he certainly has the ability, you know, to score. Now, of course, as we know, and we've seen it many times, that if you're just because you're able to score at the AHL level doesn't mean you can score at the NHL level. I think the perfect example of that from a Predators perspective is Daniel Carr, who was the AHL MVP two seasons ago and struggled to stick with the Predators this season or in the NHL in general over the course of his career. So, you know, I like the idea of Trennan perhaps, you know, playing with Matthew Shane on that second line, just as somebody who will get to the front of the net, you know, create traffic, hunt pucks, you know, and compliment Duchesne with a bit of an edge that his, you know, his most of his line mates, namely Mikhail Granlund and Kyle Turris, do not possess.
And certainly Duchesne struggles to find, it appears.
Yes, I agree.
All right, Adam, so we've had this conversation off and on for the last 2 or 3 years, and I think we've reached a point now where a resolution is going to have to be found one way or the other. And I'm talking about Kyle Turris. You know, I think Kyle Turris is a really good player. I don't think he just came here and forgot how to play hockey. But I'm also willing to say at this point, and you can tell me whether or not you agree or disagree, it's just not going to work here. I don't think we have any evidence that Kyle Turris is going to work here. What do you do now with Kyle Turris? What can you do if you're the Predators on that front?
Well, there are a few options. You know, one, which I wrote about last week, is buying him out, which is going to be a bit painful because you'll have to carry a $2 million cap hit for 8 years. But that $4 million of extra space over the next 4 years when the cap is flat or may not go up that much is not an insignificant amount of money. And you hope by the time the dead money appears on the cap, you know, 2024 through 2028, that the cap has returned to near normal levels and carrying an extra $2 million is not that big of a deal. So that seems like the path of least resistance. You could also try to trade him and sweeten the deal, so to speak, to a team that has cap space, you know, adding in a prospect or adding in a draft pick. But I'm not sure the Predators want to waste draft capital on just trying to get rid of Kyle Turris. And the third option, which I think is, you know, not the way to go, but it is something that teams do sometimes, is just trading a bad contract for a bad contract. You know, it's funny. I saw this pop up on my timeline on Twitter last week. And you know, most of the time when people play armchair GM on Twitter, I want to yank my eyeballs out. But I actually thought that this was an interesting idea because we know how much Predators fans have a torrid love affair with James Neal. What if the Predators were to trade Kyle Turris to the Oilers for James Neal? The cap hit is basically the same. I think Neal is 5.75, but he has, I think, a year less on his contract. So, yeah, you'd be taking back the same amount of money, basically, but you'd have it for one less year. I don't think that's going to happen, but I know some Predators fans would be incredibly excited to have James Neal back because they still don't forgive the team from what happened in 2017 for one reason or another. But, you know, I think the path of least resistance is just buying him out. I agree with you, Robbie. I have a lot of respect for Kyle Turris. I think he's made the best of a difficult situation. But I just think at this point you're paying him too much not to be a key factor on your team. And the best thing to do, I think, for the Predators' standpoint is just to let him go.
Hashtag mind blown on the James Neal thing. And then you would have to – but part of that would be you would have to play him with Yarncroke at all times. Right,
just to really shove that point home. Yes.
Oh yes. Man,
people love James Neal. I mean, and it kind of goes back to what I was talking about the forwards with more bite, right? Like James Neal was like the last guy they had who could do that. Now James Neal is certainly past his prime. Let's be clear about that. But he is a bit of a jerk on the ice. The Predators need more of that, and he was successful here doing so. So if you want to get a past his prime James Neal to get rid of Kyle Turris. Hey, I mean, it's not a completely ridiculous idea, but it was just something that, like, usually when I go on Twitter and someone plays armchair GM, I'm just like, mute, block, mute, block. But this one, I was like, it's not so bad.
You really mute and block people that much just for doing that?
No, I'm not a blocker. I'm a muter.
I've been a heavy muter lately. Have you?
Heavy muter.
Yeah. There's a lot of reasons to mute a lot of people.
You don't give them the satisfaction of knowing that you blocked them, because some people take pride in knowing that they've been blocked by somebody.
They make it their profile pick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think muting is great because you don't give them the satisfaction of knowing that you turned them off to the point where you didn't want to see them anymore.
Like if you are blocked by Cameo superstar Jared Stillman, that's like a feather in your cap, right? Yeah.
I can't believe somebody paid Stillman for that. I can't believe it.
And it said that $15.99 is cheap. He should be charging $100. Why don't you get on Cameo, Vingan?
Yeah. We can make this happen.
What would be my price, you think? Do you think I'm more than Stillman?
I would, yes.
I guess. Actually. His price range is throwing everything off.
I would charge extra for pretzel cameos.
That's good.
Like,
he's
like
definitely worth more.
$15 for just me, $20 for me and pretzel.
That works. Adam Vingan from The Athletic, sponsored by Sealmaster, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Adam, thanks for joining us, brother. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, we will come back, wrap up the show. Some final thoughts on the Titans before we go. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.